Welcome to the Afternoon Jams. Big Rod, we're joined by some very distinguished people today.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna be honest with y'all. It's gonna be hard for me to be unbiased because, you know, we are human. And me and Big Rod, we love Keith God. That's my brother. You know what I mean? We love Justin. Yes, it's our brothers, man. So I know we're supposed to be unbiased. And I'm going to try not. It's going to be hard. So I'm just letting y'all know that. It's going to be hard because.
And on that note, I might as well let y'all know I'm not going to be.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not going to be unbiased. Be straight up.
Judge, how y'all doing today?
I'm doing good, Coach. PA.
Okay, good. Keith, start off with you, man. Yeah, you don't talk throughout the weekend. You know how I feel, and I feel bad. I feel terrible that
PA, it's tough for me to hear you, PA.
Okay. Can you hear me now, Keith? Is it
a little bit better?
It's better?
A little bit better, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to turn these things up loud as I can. How's that?
Yep.
Okay. First of all, my heart dropped when I saw the video, bro. You know, and it just reminded me of a civil rights moment, a significant moment in a significant period in our history in 2021. And I just want to commend you for what you did, because everybody don't have that spirit that you have, that you showed Friday, man. So what's this last 72 hours been like for you?
Believe it or not, PA, it's been hell, to be honest with you. I'm not sleeping much. You know, I'm mad. A lot of emotions go through my mind because, as a man, we all can attest to the fact that as a real man, you want to protect your family and your kids and whoever you are in charge of protecting. And that team, those guys are my kids. And I felt like, I felt helpless, felt like I could not perform my duties as their leader and protector. And, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow because, you know, you read about things like this, but to actually go through it is really, really tough. And, you know, it's been tough these last 72 hours.
Have you gotten an apology yet from the referee?
No, I'm not at all.
Any communication back from the MHSAA?
I just got out of practice and I just got an email saying that, you know, that they're taking action of suspension and for the rest of winter and spring. I ask for an extension on the report I have to turn into them, and that's why the investigation is ongoing. So once I turn in my report, then something more could happen or it could just stay the way it is as of this moment.
Wow. Is there a little history there with you and this referee?
No, not at all. I've never, I don't remember ever having a game where he officiated. I think that was my first encounter with him. It was Friday night, I believe. I could be wrong, but I don't remember him.
And what do you think led to him shoving you? What was going on to the point that he shoved you?
You know, I have no idea. Why he shoved me. I know we had a conversation during the game that was not, I didn't think it was out of control. It was a point in the game where I asked for a timeout. He looked at me and did not grant me the timeout. I'm jumping up and down and screaming. And when I finally got the timeout granted from the official that was furthest away, I talked to him and I said, you've been treating me you've been kind of condescending to me, and I just want to know, you know, what did I do? I think our kids, myself, we deserve better. And, you know, at that time he said, don't go there with me. He grabbed my arms. And then he let my arms go, and then he two hands shoved me. And, you know, at that time I said, man, you just pushed me. And, you know, it was no response. He just walked away.
What about the other referees? Did they see this?
You know, I tried to, you know, I spoke to them. I spoke to one of the other gentlemen, and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Let's try to get through the game. There's only 1 minute, 3 seconds left without any issues. And I said, it's tough. I just got assaulted. I got pushed. And he felt my pain, but he couldn't do anything much about it. And then the third official, the play kept going on, and then I basically was trying to get his attention as well. And he basically said to me, I mean, I was telling him, like, he pushed me. And at that point, I'll be honest with you, I was not, for the first time in my career, I never quit on my team. And it became bigger than basketball. I did not coach my team during that timeout. My assistant coaches did an outstanding job of taking over for me. And I did not coach him. I was trying to get their attention to let them know that I'd been pushed. And in the middle of me doing that, then I received a technical foul with me saying that they alleged that I was making threatening gestures towards the guy. So.
You just got shoved. You're trying to let the other referees know that you got physically assaulted, pushed, and they give you the tech.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And you know what, P, I have to be honest. I really don't care about that. You know, they have every right to do what they need to do, what they think they need to do as referees. And if I was out of control and do whatever, then they have every right, those mechanisms that are in place to curtail that. But I was not that. And, you know, if they decide they wanted to levy a technical foul, it's fine. But it does not take away from the fact that assault happened that night. And I'm not going to make that up for anybody. It happened.
A couple more things, and I'm going to get Judge's opinion, and you got a lot of comments coming in online. If you would have shoved him during a game, what would have happened?
PA, we would be having this conversation, but I might be having this conversation not in this office. I probably would have been fired. I would have lost everything. And my name and my reputation and everything that I tried to build over the course of the years would have been wasted. I tell you what, I mean, I had to. It was nothing but the Holy Spirit that really held me back from doing something. But, you know, my whole point is I was so upset, and I'm still upset about the fact that you know, that shouldn't happen. I shouldn't be in a basketball game and have to decide whether to react to an assault or not. I should never, ever, ever be in that position, ever. No. And that alone makes me more mad than anything.
You mentioned to me when you went into the locker room, there was nothing you could say to your kids. Explain.
Yeah. So I go in, and we lost the game. And I'll be first to say Zealand played well. Congratulations to them. They won the conference championship. Well deserved. Coach does an outstanding job. Players played excellent game. But it was not about the game. And our kids, I think, thought about it, and it wasn't about the game to them. They wasn't mad about the loss. They were mad about what just transpired in front of them and to their leader. And they saw me helpless. And the saddest thing to me, as a coach and as a father, as a husband, we pride ourselves on trying to fix things and have answers. And I didn't have any answers, and I couldn't fix the situation for them. And it was one of the toughest moments of my career. And to walk out of the locker room, I tried to gather myself, and then I had three or four cameras in my face. And that's what you saw. But I felt bad looking in the faces of kids that I'm supposed to educate, and I couldn't give them an educational answer of what just transpired.
two out of the three reporters claimed that they didn't see it when they was there. I found it kind of strange, you know. They didn't see it. Judge, Keith is like your little brother or little son. I don't forget how old you is. So I know you wanted to put him up. I know you wanted to put him up.
Listen, my wife, God bless her soul. If you want to talk about somebody that's going to look out for Key Guy and protect him, that's her. And she woke me. I was asleep, and she said, I wouldn't wake you, but this is just eating me. I want you to see this. And she showed me the interview, and she showed me, you know, and I see Coach reacting to probably years of having to perform at a level as a coach, as a professional, as a man, night after night, with people who sometimes show up with the intention of trying to make him look bad. For years, from Heights all the way down to Muskegon. And at that point, this brother just said, you know, what did you say? It's 2021, man. It's enough of this. It's time out for this. It's enough. There's enough of this. And my heart hurt. I felt the frustration. I felt the almost confusion. Like he says, he didn't have answers for his kids. And you never want to see a child or a young man like this. I call them child, but children, but young man like this walk away from a life issue like this and not have a good answer for how to explain it. And that's the position I think they kind of put Coach in, man. That's the kind of position I think they put any of us would have been in. But let me say this, PA. What happened that night leading up to the assault and battery? And that's what I've called it from second one. My legal experience, my legal training tells me that you don't have the right to officiously, offensively put your hands on another person. It doesn't matter what the intensity of the touch is. It doesn't matter whether or not the person is knocked off, you know, off their balance, or is, you know, injured or any of that. You don't have the right to put your hands on another person in that manner with the ill intent that clearly he showed. So when that occurred, everything that occurred up to that point was within the context of basketball. And everything that occurred involving Coach Guy had a remedy available to the official within the context of basketball. If you think he was out of control, and he wasn't, but if you think he's out of control, you're the final call on that official. Give him a technical. If you think that he's too close to you and in your space, tell him to sit down. And if he doesn't sit down, give him a technical. There's a remedy available for what this referee may have thought he observed, whether we believe his observation or not. But when you go then to the next step of, instead of applying the sanction that you have available to you as the official in charge of that basketball court, and put your hands on Coach Guy, this is no longer a matter of basketball. This is now moved into the realm of unacceptable criminal behavior on the part of, in my opinion, or at least based on what I understand of the law, of this official. And for any institution, whether it's MHSAA or anybody else, to not give that the time, attention, and scrutiny that it deserves is doing a disservice to not only their institution, but is doing a disservice to the credibility and accountability that they are supposed to bring to interscholastic athletics. Mm.
Wow. I know you, I hope we got a few, I know you got some interviews coming up, and I want to say this publicly. I appreciate you giving us the first interview, and because I know there are bigger networks out there that wanted to talk to you, but you granted it, you granted this opportunity to us, and I let you know, I appreciate that, you know, and I don't take that for granted. Big Rob, me and Big Rob been together this weekend. We in Orlando, Florida, and so we don't talk about this, but I want him to get his opinion out there because he deserved to have his opinion. He loves you too.
My God, I love him. That's my guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert.
We just spent the whole hour with you, I think, week before last, you know, on StreamYard. Yep. Big Rob, your thoughts, man, and what do you think should happen to this referee?
Muted.
Take it off mute, Big Rob. Take it off mute, Big Brother. Yeah.
I'm going to try to be nice, but that ain't in me. Told you I was going to get unleashed about this because that devil should have been hurt leaving up out of there, putting his hand on our brother like that. I love Keith. You know, seriously, if I had been there, it's been a totally different conversation. They'd have been taking me to jail. Because I know he's got to stand up and do right for them kids. And that's more important a lot of times than your pride. I know I've been in those situations. But, you know, Keith, you know, that devil, he should have been arrested that night. Because if I had to put my hands on him like he put his hands on you, they'd have cuffed me and took me up under the jail.
Yeah.
That's just facts, period. Like Judge said, you can't just go around putting your hands on people and expect nothing to happen. But it seemed like every time when it happens to a black man, whether that black man right, wrong, or indifferent, we got to investigate. You got video there, this man putting his hands on this man. Why ain't he up under somebody's jail right now? Why does he have to sit back and write a report? There's a video. So now what y'all trying to tell us, that video don't count? Well, what else do we have nowadays? You know, these police run around here with these video cameras, body cameras and everything else, and that seals the deal for their case. But what's sealing the deal for Keith Guy's case? It should be the video. He shouldn't have to write nothing. It's all on video. Keith didn't put his hand. I didn't see Keith put his hands on him. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't see Keith raise his hands, grab his arms, or shove him at all. But I seen this devil, Bill Ripple, put his hands on my brother.
And for y'all to know, me and Big Rob called him the devil early in the show before Judge and Keith came on. This is not the Judge and Keith opinion. This is Big Rob and myself opinion. And I agree with Big Rob. That's the title man gets. Because that's how he carried himself.
This is my opinion. You got a problem when it comes to you? He's still going to be the devil. Okay? Judge Gregory C. Pittman has nothing to do with this. You see, he's sitting there being quiet. Coach Keith Guy ain't got nothing to do with the devil. You see, he being quiet. They letting me talk. It's my opinion. It couldn't have been me, though. I'm sorry. I don't have that much. Well, I can't say that. It depends on the situation. But I don't think I got that much restraint. Some devil going to put his hands on me like that. You got the first time to put your hands on me like that. And I'm telling you, you're going to put me up under the jail. I'm going back to the penitentiary.
Right. Yeah, like I told Keith, Rob, earlier today, Keith got a lot to lose, man. And, you know, I don't have a lot to lose. So it would have been different for me. Hey, I'm done.
My last son is almost 18 years old. He going to school, going to high school and college. I'm good.
Right.
You know, I'm just being real with you. You know, you don't put your hands on no black man because you think you can.
And I want to say this, Keith, and I know Judge, me and Judson talked about this on his show. I can't blame everything on Trump. I can't put it all on his, because racism existed before he took office. But I believe he made it comfortable and put people in a place where they felt comfortable to express themselves, their inner feelings. And what we're seeing is the reality of how people feel about us. We were 2/3 of a man back then, and some people thoughts they feel that way right now. And I think at that moment, the reality came out. That's how Bill Ripple probably. That's how he feel. It slipped out.
Call it what it is, man.
And we got it. And we got it on video. I'm gonna ask Judge Pittman before we go. We got a lot of comments on him. I'm gonna try to get this up here. I told Keith 15 minutes because I know he got other networks he want to get on.
I did what I could for you. So
okay, all right, Judge.
Yes, sir.
You rarely do you speak out on things like this, because this mean that this can't come to your court. Rarely do you speak out on stuff. Is this a charge? I talked to DJ Hilson earlier today. He said they are reviewing it. They are looking at the evidence. He's going to make a decision. He says not going to be a McDonald's decision, but he got to make phone calls. If this thing come back as a misdemeanor, is that fair?
Yes. If this comes back as a misdemeanor charge, it's fair. That's exactly what I would understand the law to entail. This is a simple assault and battery. And it's a misdemeanor. It's a 93-day, maximum. But see, I don't want any of us to miss the point or lose the focus of what's going on here. See, what's going to happen is we're going to see the same playbook that Coach Guy has had to deal with since he began his career as a varsity basketball coach. There'll be an incident, and then there will be the investigation by the MHSAA, and then there will be sort of a diffusion of the blame as to who the perpetrators were and what occurred, so that it kind of dies a slow, quiet, easy death. And nobody really, really is held accountable for their actions. And to the extent that it stayed a basketball issue, the MHSAA is the last word.
Okay.
But see, this official took it out of the realm of basketball. He took it away from MHSAA having the last word. He took it away from the opportunity for the usual playbook to be brought to bear. You said so much, man. You talked about Trump. But Coach, you've been coaching since when? 2004, 2003?
2003. Yeah.
So back then, who was president? Bush?
Yeah.
And then on through to Obama, yeah. And on through to Clinton, to Trump. This Friday evening's incident was the culmination of where this has been going, because of the insensitivity and the ability to dismiss this elegant black man who sits on this sideline in the way that they have for years and years and years and years. So it has kind of taken steps forward to now to the elevation of an assault and battery. It's no longer dismissing him. It's no longer ignoring him. It's no longer technical fouls. It's no longer complaints to the MHSAA that are completely unfounded. It's now, we're comfortable enough now to come into this gym and to push you around in this gym. And that's the culmination of what's been going on since 2003, in my opinion. I've been around for every moment.
He's absolutely right, PA. I would have to second that. This is nothing like new. It just went to this today, and let me just tell you, it's unbelievable officials out there. It's unbelievable officials out there. So, you know, to the good ones, my hats are off to you. I know it's a tough job, but just like in any other profession, there are some bad ones out there, and a lot they don't mean a lot of people any good. So, I just hope that this sparks change for the entire sports world and the entire world, period, not just athletics. I want to spark change, and I hope that this is the avenues that we can point to at some point and say, you know, this is where we are starting to move in the right direction as well. Because the judge is absolutely right, man. This, I've been doing this for a long time, and he knows how frustrated I've been over the years, because I would vent to him about a lot of things. I mean, he'll tell you, I was even thinking about stepping down at one point, because I thought just me being there was hurting kids and their opportunity. Oh, wow. And
wow,
you know, so this is a long time coming. I mean, I would let people know what's happening, but even with video, you see how tough it is. People still don't believe that it happens. So my word meant nothing.
When the police, did the police see the video?
Yes.
That night?
Yes. And he did a great job. He did his due diligence.
Did an awesome job. And you got a chief of police sitting on a bench that was probably 10 feet away.
Yes. Absolutely.
And he believed it was assault.
Yes.
Those police did not arrest the guy?
Nope. And I don't know. I don't know.
I think the question you're asking is one where I don't think it is inappropriate for the officer who was there to say, let me get the facts and let me provide that information on to the people who sort of review for purposes of whether or not a charge is to be had. And I think it's appropriate that it is taking the steps that it's taking through the police and on to the prosecutor's office. That's the right step. That's the right approach. That's not a problem. The issue is this going to be taken seriously and dealt with in the realm beyond a basketball game and what occurred at a basketball game? That referee, I'll say it until my dying day, that referee had remedies for what he thought Keith Guy was doing as a basketball coach. He chose to ignore those remedies and instead take it to the realm of, I am going to put my hands on you, whether frustrated, whether confused, whether purposely, does not matter. And that is what has to be answered to here. The issue of what happened as a basketball contest has become secondary.
Right.
Very much.
Keith, a lot of comments coming in, man. What do you want to see happen? I know you haven't slept the last 72 hours.
Man, you know, I want to see change, man. You think about this. If he never officiates another game, which I'm perfectly fine with, does that change anything, though? We still got people not understanding the seriousness of these issues. And so I want to see change that affects all of us make this better place. When my kids take the floor, I want them to feel like they're protected. I don't want them to feel less than. I want them to feel like they're worth the same as any other team. And I don't want any negative stereotypes as we take the floor. I want people to be educated about, because this is not just a Muskegon issue. Mm-hmm. This is not just a Muskegon issue. I would be fooling Muskegon right now if I say it was just a Muskegon issue. I have coaches all over the place that I talk to as having the same issue. So I want change for everybody.
Yeah, this, you know, PA, I'll let you run your show, but
go ahead, Jet. No, I want y'all. Your opinion matters, man.
This is a seminal moment for all of us. This is a moment where, regardless of what you think about race, what you think about, these athletic contests and all those things, this is a moment that speaks to the idea that the ability to disregard an entire people. And, you know, that's what that looked like, is the dismissal, the disregard of this man in that time and space. We cannot allow that to continue. You know, some people there's racism, no question. There are people who are absolutely racist. But I think of equal concern is there are people who simply just don't even consider us. They don't even think about us. We're not even a passing thought in the course of their day. You're able to treat people the way you treat them because you really don't have any regard for them. Not necessarily that you hate them. It's just that you don't even think about them.
Don't even exist. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. That's the reality. And that's done even in on the legislative level.
Right.
Bills are written.
Absolutely.
Well, Keith, at least we know you've been suspended. Hopefully in a couple of days we will have, hopefully tomorrow, DJ Hilson would decide on a felony, misdemeanor, or no charges whatsoever. I hope you have some legal remedies that you can pursue on a personal level. And because what he did do was just disrespectful. And I don't know all civil law. Judge Doom, and I see we got attorney T. Smith, one of your former players. But I hope this fight is not over after if he get charged.
No, I challenge everybody to continue this, because again, there's going to be another key guy coming behind. I want to make things better for that person. I'm not going to be here forever. My kids are coming behind. You know, my former players, my current players, they got to live life. And the one thing I want to do is leave this society better than when I came. So it's about. This is a situation that allows us to strategize, collectively come up with solutions, and also to continue the dialogue while we're forming these solutions. And, you know, I think it's doable, but we have to have tough conversations. We have to have tough conversations because we all know that this thing it didn't just start Friday night. Judge said, this didn't just start Friday night. We're fooling ourselves if we thinking it just started Friday night. It did not.
No. You mentioned me. There's reports, and I'm going to go to Judge and then I'll get a final thoughts from you. You mentioned that there was reports of black players getting more penalties in football than white players, more holding penalties because of their size.
You know, there's you know, a big discrepancy. That's a judgment call. And you know, when you officiate football, you can call holding on every play. But, you know, I dare not take that route of being official. It's a tough job. But I do understand that there is stats that show that more athletic teams are punished more on the holding side of things than other teams. Sure.
Go to Judge, and I'm going to come back with you for closing thoughts, Keith. Judge, you have a very important meeting that's going to be occurring virtually coming up this afternoon, dealing with racism, and it's going to be occurring in Grand Haven. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I was invited by the suggestion of Brian Wheeler, who works in the Grand Haven Public School System, to participate in this town hall meeting on the topic of racism and the justice system and how it affects incarceration. And myself and Matt Japkis, who is a very committed gentleman who works for this nonprofit involving the Humanity for Prisoners and has some really, really, really important information about the issues of how incarceration is affecting and how African Americans are treated as a result of that incarceration. So that's going to take place. I think that start. What time does that start?
6:30. Yeah.
6:30 to 8:00, and I'm going to be a part of that. And I am really glad for the opportunity by the Momentum Center in Grand Haven, who is sponsoring this, and they're reaching out to start and have these difficult conversations. These are tough conversations, man, but you know, you gotta have them if you're going to begin to address things that ultimately culminate in what Coach Guy had to deal with in his area as a basketball coach and athletic director. You know, it's everywhere. And we need to be serious about speaking truth to power. We need to be serious about not taking a step back on the idea that the institutions that are intended to protect us and that have accountability are held accountable to do those things. That's why I keep mentioning the MHSAA. They don't just get to, wipe their hands and say, okay, all good, everybody go back to playing. There's got to be a legitimate consequence for an action that I'm certain that they did not train this official to engage himself in.
Wow. Keith, before I get to the last question, are there any black administrators there at MHSAA? Do they have a diverse staff?
I know of one. Nate Hampton is all I know of. If there's more, I've not seen them. No.
And how big is the staff there, you know?
It's a pretty large staff. It's a pretty nice size staff. I can't tell you the number, but it's a great number. But I've only encountered Nate Hampton.
One.
Yep.
One black person.
One. And here's what Keith's not saying. Membership in the MHSAA is voluntary, correct? Coach?
Correct.
Every school that's a member of the MHSAA is there because they choose to be. The MHSAA's power comes from the fact that these schools choose to be under their direction, so to speak. If all these schools decided tomorrow that this is no longer a relevant organization as it relates to interscholastic athletics, MHSAA would be shut down tomorrow.
Do you think that should happen, Judge?
Do I think what?
You think these schools should leave the MHSAA?
No, I think these schools should all begin to have the purposefulness of saying, you've got to change how you do business. Where's the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion? DE&I, that's a big thing these days. What is their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion? What is their commitment to the idea that schools that are voluntary members should have a bigger voice than I think that they have in how things are done at that level. You know, I'm not nearly as close to it as Coach Guy is, but that's what I see from the outside looking in.
Exactly.
In closing, Keith, I'm sure on the flip side, you have seen overwhelming support from friends close and afar. Can you talk about how that has made you feel in spite of everything that's going on?
You know what? I'm very appreciative of the outpouring support from around the country, just not Muskegon, but it's around the country. I've gotten calls and text messages from and emails from all over the place and expressing their support and their love for me, and that's humbling. It's I don't take that lightly. I really appreciate that, because you're in the job, you don't know how people really feel about you. And what I have found out in this situation is that people really love me and really care a lot about me, and I really appreciate that, because people don't have to love you. They choose to love you. And these people have chosen to love me and to support me. And this could have been, I mean, people are busy these days and could have gone about their day, but they are writing letters. They're contacting people. I mean, we have attorneys writing letters. You got judges, you know, you got, you know, pastors and police officers and officials and coaches and teachers. I mean, just the, and all of my high school friends. It's just, you know, it's overwhelming, and I'm very, very humbled by it. And I want to publicly thank everybody for their support, because again, without that, I don't know if this thing would have taken off the way it has. And I do think a lot of people didn't believe it, even with video. And I think the support that we have are holding people's feet to the fire and making them believe and look at what's true and what's not.
You know, this referee is going to watch this interview. And the last thing I want you to say, what would you want to say to him?
Coach, you know, I would think at this point, you probably don't want to do that.
You don't want to say anything. Okay.
No, you don't want to do that, because it now it becomes, you know, I think it becomes a little bit of a personality clash, and it takes the focus. Not that it's not correct or important for that to be said, but it takes the focus away from what they want, that what institutions want the focus to be taken away from. The focus is that a criminal act occurred on that basketball court in front of witnesses and on video. Deal with it.
Right.
Deal with it in the way that it is prescribed by law to deal with it.
Hopefully, swiftly. All right, Keith. I know you got other interviews, man. And we're going to continue to talk about this. Big Rod, myself, at the station, and the streets are talking, man. And you know how I feel about you, man. Love you, man. And
love you, Keith. Me, bro.
Man, I love you guys, too, man. I thank you for all the work you're doing with this, man. Again, I appreciate it, man, because again, a lot of things I don't see and I'm not privy to, but you guys are really beating the bushes and blowing this thing up and drawing awareness to this incident. And I appreciate all your hard work. I really do.
Well, okay, good. I'm going to let you guys sign off, because Big Rod going to deliver a message to Bill Ripple. So I'll let you guys sign off, you know, so y'all don't have to be a part of the message, you know.
Hey, would I be able to hear this message at some point somewhere?
Right. All right, man. I know you got playoffs. Good luck, man. Good luck.
I appreciate it, man. I hope, man. Again, I want to put this to bed, because again, I will say this is the last thing, you know. What people don't realize is I still have a season and the kids I have to service. And we have a game on Thursday, which is a playoff game, and I have to figure out a way to get ready and put this behind us as well. Not just behind us, but also deal with it while we're getting them ready to play. So, you know, just pray for us.
I'm praying for you, man. All right, take care.
Got my prayers, Coach.
Thank you very much.
I got these fists for you, Coach.
All right, Judge, take care. Take care, Judge.
Okay, PA. Hey, listen, right, man, thank you for the service you do for this community. We appreciate it. You and Rob, top notch.
Skeeter, man.
Top notch.
I love him.
Love him.
All right, Big Rob, final thoughts, man.
That devil needs to be put away and left there. Or just put him somewhere where it's just me and him and no cameras and no witnesses. Right. You know, I'm quite sure by the time he gets out of there, he'll be all right. He will understand that we ain't looking for no special treatment. We looking to just be treated fairly.
Right.
That's it. As black people, black men, black women, our black queens out there, right, we ain't asking you to treat us special, go over and beyond, to reach out and say hi. You don't like me? So what? Treat me fairly. You know, these devils want to sit up here, and that devil, coward. That's what that referee was that night, being a devil and a coward, because he knew Keith couldn't knock his so-and-so out during that time. Because Keith is a man of integrity. Keith is a man of honor and discipline. I couldn't have been that disciplined, another grown man grabbing my arms like that and then gonna push me like I'm irrelevant. I don't care who you are, referee, police, judge, doctor, lawyer, whoever you is. Don't put your doggone hands on me, because you don't want me putting my hands on you. Right. We ain't looking for nothing special, period. Treat us fairly. Fair. That's it.
Thanks, my brother. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Muskegon. Thanks, family. Back to more music.